Tech Growth Cast. We have a special guest today. We have Charlotte Stewart. How are you, Charlotte?
Mark, I am just fine. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you for taking the time out of your day to speak with me. I really appreciate it. I keep saying we because it's usually more than one person on the line with me, but I'll probably keep saying we. Of course, Charlotte was the Miss Beadle. I always say Mrs. I think that's just a bad habit of mine.
Well, she was, you know, in those days, teachers weren't allowed to be married. In fact, if they got married, they had to, you know, stop teaching the school. It wasn't scandalous. It was very prudish.
It was almost like you should be at home having children and, you know, keeping a home.
Exactly.
Not working.
Supporting my man. Yeah.
And that's where, I guess, I wonder, whatever happened to Miss Beadle in real life? Because I know it was
in
based
real
on
life,
her character.
Well, yes, yeah, she is. She is. She was based on, and it's Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote about her in about the second or third book when they got to Walnut Grove and she attended school for the first time with Mary. Mm-hmm. And she came back and told her parents that, oh, Miss Beadle, she's so beautiful, and she smells like lemon verbena.
Exactly.
So that's about all we had to go on. You know? So Michael picked up another storyline 4 years later because Laura Ingalls had to meet Almanzo Wilder because she became Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Right.
And so Michael wrote Almanzo's sister came to town to become the school teacher, and that she was traveling with her brother, and then he and Laura meet, and then goes on the story of, you know, their relationship, marriage, and on and on and on. So he ended up having me meet and marry the pig farmer, Adam Sims.
Probably one of the better looking guys of the show, actually. Right?
Oh my God. You know, Michael showed me two pictures before they cast the role of Adam. And I looked at the two pictures, and what Michael didn't know is that one of the men being considered for Mr. Sims was a dear old friend of mine who I had gone to school with,
oh,
who was a wonderful actor named Joshua Bryant. And so I kind of looked at both pictures and, you know, put my finger to my chin and said, well, maybe this one. And I never told Michael that it was an old friend of mine.
That's really
so Josh fun. And I had a wonderful time, you know, with the storyline and getting married and eloping and all that.
It's like small town Hollywood, you know, it's like.
It is. We had such fun.
You know, I watched Little House, I'm going to say in the 80s. And I would, mm-hmm. I'd go home from school and I'd watch it, and, you know, it was a secret because I'm a boy, you know, boys aren't really supposed to be watching this kind of foo-foo show.
I know.
But as I got older, I found out that all of my friends were doing the same thing.
Listen, like, I have a funny story to tell.
Sure.
I have a story to tell you about that. Last winter, I was in Brooklyn. I was doing a small part in a six-part online series called Living on the Prairie.
Oh, wow.
And it's about a woman who, a modern day woman in New York City who was obsessed with Little House on the Prairie. And one of the scenes was, in fact, a meeting. It was like an AA meeting. It was very, you know, exclusive.
Yeah.
And it was only for men who finally admitted that they watched Little House on the Prairie.
And then you realize everybody's an alcoholic.
It was a very clever scene.
But you do realize it. You know, my roommate, him and I were just kind of up one night, you know, doing God knows what. And he just threw out the word half pint. And then we start talking about it. And then, like you just mentioned, lemon verbena. It's like we just had one night of like, wow, we both know everything about Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
We're two heterosexual men who live together. But that's another story. just kind of delaying growing up, I think.
Mark, I am so proud of you.
Thank you. And so I created this podcast as, I guess, a love letter to Little House on the Prairie. Well, when I was younger, I had a tremendous crush on you. Just putting that out there. And
Miss Beadle?
Yeah, really? Totally. It was. I always had a view for an older woman. And I'm not saying you were that much older, really. I mean, I was just maybe 11 or 12 or something. But it was Mrs. Beetle, Ms. Beetle, and Ma. So it was like I had a twisted childhood. And but even now, I look back and I'll watch the show and I'll see, all right, these are two of the, I hate saying better look, but I'd say that you and
Karen,
I forgot her, yeah, Caroline.
Well, her real name, Karen Grassley. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It escaped me. And were more modern looking, I guess, is the best way of putting it. But we basically grew up with that whole, that thing. So when I was watching it, it was already in reruns, but only a few years ahead of time. And when you left the show, it became like kind of a scandalous thing in my mind of like, all right, what the hell's going on here? Like, wait.
Yeah. Why did they fire Miss Beetle?
Wait, why is everything changing? All right, great. We're going to get to learn what her life is going on. And it's like, wait, where is she? So it became very upsetting
for
me.
It happened rather quickly. Although I knew it was coming because when I signed my original contract, I knew it was only for 4 years.
Right.
Because they had already, played out the storyline where Laura meets Almanzo. So I knew it was going to happen. But, when it finally did, it was one of the saddest days for me. I just, we were shooting the scene. The last scene I did was in the general store where Mary and her husband, come back to Walnut Grove and they're in the general store. And I'm in there and I see Mary and I give her my brooch that I always wore as Miss Beetle because now she's a teacher. And so we do the scene. I give her the brooch. Assistant director says, okay, cut. That's your wrap. Okay, everybody say goodbye to Charlotte. They all say goodbye. And then everybody picked up and moved to the next scene. And I'm standing there. I'm standing there thinking, isn't there more to this?
It's like hand in your bonnet.
exactly. Turn in your watch,
Oh, man.
But it was cathartic,
I have to say, I'm going to guess, and of course I'm just speculating, that it was a very fast-paced work ethic that everyone had. Like, it was just...
Oh, yeah.
There were so many episodes, and I personally feel like you can't make a show like this today because of the sets and the amount of people involved, and I don't know if the world would be ready for a reboot of Little House on the Prairie.
No, I don't think so. They tried it with a miniseries, I think on Hallmark or something, and it didn't succeed. People wanted the original. They wanted, Half Pint and Mary, Missy, and all their original characters back when they were young, and they just didn't want it. They'd rather watch reruns than see a different cast in the show.
Recently, I had Alison Arngrim, who played Nellie, on.
And, I love her.
Yeah, she said the same thing about you. She's like, oh my God, Charlotte. And she's a trip. She's really... Everyone who I've spoken to from the show has nothing but fond memories, really, when they look back. I mean, everybody's had their moments where, there was a, life, But for the most part, it seems as though everyone had a pretty decent situation.
Oh, there. Absolutely.
And I have
a theory about that. No, that's okay. I have a theory about that. And it all goes back to Michael Landon, where, Michael had worked in the business for so many years. He really knew it backwards. And his idea of a work day was to, you get there at 6 a.m. and you go home at 6 p.m. or 5 p.m.
Right.
Or earlier. But you don't stay and work till 11 o'clock at night, which a lot of TV shows did. You were exhausted because they would take maybe print too many takes or... Michael knew exactly what he was going to do. So he was directing and writing and producing and starring. And he said, okay, let's do a master shot just up until this point, because from then on, I'm not going to use any of the footage. I'm going to go in for close-ups. So he wouldn't even shoot the rest of the scene. And it made it so click, fast and efficient that we got to go home at 5, his crew had families. They were able to go home and, spend an evening with their family.
That's unheard of.
And that's unheard of. No, in most shows you work until, okay, let's take another shot or let's... Also, he was so insistent, even with the children, that everybody comes to work on time knowing what they're going to do, knowing the scene, not messing up their lines. I mean, I don't remember, more than one or two times where they had to retake you know, a scene.
Wow.
It was all, you know, we moved right on. The kids had to go into school. They had to have a certain amount of breaks. And I think most of this was because there were so many children in the cast that we had to be efficient.
Now, the way you're describing the set, it was kind of like a well-oiled machine. But
yep.
taking to another part of your career with, say, a Eraserhead.
which took, what, 7 years?
it's way different. But I've heard at the same time that David Lynch kind of runs a similar type of atmosphere anyway, where things are getting done and there's not as much stress, at least not on the set.
Oh, no. The last time I worked with David was on the new Twin Peaks, and that was my job was over about a year and a half ago that I shot my scene, and it was extremely efficient. Only at this point, as opposed to Eraserhead, where there was David, the cameraman, the sound man, Jack Nance, and me. Period. this had, you know, a crew of 30, and you know, a bunch of actors, and you know, everything went very efficiently, and mm-hmm. and it was. David Lynch has the most pleasant set atmosphere.
Right, that's what I've heard.
Happy with everything. I mean, really, he's just so relaxing. He's so relaxed. He's so easy to be around.
Now, the first time I saw Eraserhead, I had a 103 fever. I was just at home.
Oh, that helped.
I it was a movie I had on Laserdisc back when Laserdiscs were uh-huh. a thing. And I was home, and I just said, all right, you know what? I've been putting it off, and I put it on, and it was just a very bizarre experience. But it made me uh-huh. kind of, it made me really enjoy it. I like kind of the avant-garde style of David Lynch. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I've never watched Twin Peaks. It's one of the terrible things of that's
missing. Oh, you mean the original?
Missing at
the
all.
Original?
Yeah. For whatever
Have
reason,
you seen
I
any
never.
Of the new show?
It's so on my plan to watch. That it's actually the next thing that I want to jump into, but I always
well,
felt
I think,
silly.
I think you'll
not
enjoy it.
Oh, I bet I will.
There, you know, there's not that many episodes in the original Twin Peaks. I mean, it only went for a year and a half, so mm-hmm. it's not hard to watch. It's very pleasant. It's funny. You know, we just watched episode 8 last night of the new series, the reboot, mm-hmm. and I put online. I said, "Oh my God, I have such a headache." You know, it's totally different. It is completely different. And I don't even know how to explain it. I love it, but I don't recommend it for everybody. You may lose a little patience because it's like going to an art exhibit of some very abstract art and trying to figure out what it means.
But you just described David Lynch, right? I mean, that's his films. Like, you know, you can watch Dune. Or you could watch Eraserhead. They're two totally, completely different styles of film.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're high quality. So I'm going mm-hmm. to guess that I can watch it and find something to appreciate.
I think you could. I think you have to let yourself go with it. You know, just like going to a museum, you don't try to figure out everything in the Dolly painting.
Right.
You just let it, just appreciate its beauty.
But I've heard really great things about it, and also, the fact that you're back, I mean, I don't know your role in it, but the fact that you are in it and you're back in it, I just think it's phenomenal.
Oh, well, I had such a good time. And I talked to David recently. My husband and I went to L.A. and we sat down. David is doing a lot of furniture making now. He's into a whole different line of
really?
Of artistic endeavor. Yeah, he's making furniture and quite beautiful. And he always loved wood, you know. It's one of the things that drew him to the Pacific Northwest was the wood.
Wow.
And he's just a really interesting guy. Well, everything's in the book. Everything
yeah.
about me. I had never intended really to write a book, but once I got started, I had a writing partner who was so easy to talk with that I would tell him stories. I mean, my life is a bunch of stories, a bunch of you're not going to believe this. You know, and he kept saying, you've got to write a book. I said, no. Come on. I barely got out of high school. Okay. So I'm no way I can write a book. Well, I did write a book and it's done very well. And I was interviewed by Oprah I
I
said
know.
to I said to my husband, "Oh my God, Oprah said my name. I can't believe it."
Right. I mean, that's a really a bucket list type of thing, right? It's
It is.
amazing.
Oh my God, it really is. So I'm very proud of it now. So,
Well,
you know, I'm
when
not
your
telling
book
you to tuck in and go ahead.
I'm sorry. When your book was released, it got so much attention. I mean,
I
I
know.
remember it was like, I'm going to say for a solid, I'm about 3 to 5 weeks, there was somebody posting something about
Yeah,
a quote
I
here, a
know.
quote there. It's like, hey, if you know, Mrs. Beadle, you remember? She was crazy, you know, and like, you know, just people had a lot of
I
chatter and there
did.
was a lot of
Well,
buzz.
remember that back, you know, we did Little House on the Prairie in the 70s. And, you know, been through the 60s, did all the hippie stuff, had a clothing store, you know, did 50 television shows. I mean, everything from Bonanza to Medical Center and
Yes.
My Three Sons and Margie and Bachelor Fall. I mean, I had a whole background of television before I even got on Little House on the Prairie. So I had met and dated, basically, a lot of Hollywood people because that's where I lived. That's who I worked with. You know, so people are reading my book and they're shocked. Oh my God, did you hear what she did? You know, well, this is the life. This is where I lived. So it wasn't like I went to Hollywood and started seeking out movie stars. I was working with them. We became friends. I had a really good time. You know, life goes on. I have no regrets.
And having to do with Jim Morrison, you kind of just kind of ran into him, right? It wasn't like anything
Well, he
set
ran
up,
into me, basically.
Right? Oh, really?
I came into, yeah. You know, my clothing store was in a building that was across from Elektra Records. And the manager for Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Joni Mitchell, you know, all the singers, you know, bands that were really hot at the time in the late 60s, early 70s, were right there in my building and would come and hang out in my store. So one
That's
day
really
I come in
wild.
And there's, and I never, ever had gone to a Doors concert. I had never seen him sing, or, you know, the band play. And I walk into my store one day and Jim's standing in my store looking out the window. And he said, "You don't mind if I'm here, do you?" And I went, no, make yourself at home. And we became friends. And we
but
used
did
to
you
go
recognize
walk down
him?
this.
Did you recognize
Oh,
him
of course
right
I
away?
did.
Or
Oh,
was you
God.
like, you know what you look like?
No, no, no. No,
All
no.
right.
I knew who he was. Believe me, I knew who he was.
But the fact that you didn't
But,
go to
you
a
know, we.
Doors concert and you didn't, you know,
I
you had
never
a
went to
school.
concerts. I knew them. If I went, it was because I was backstage, you know, with the manager or the actor or the music. I mean, it's just that's the way my life was. I was in the middle of Joni Mitchell was one of my best friends.
Wow.
You know, Neil Young was one of my best friends. So these are the people that I knew and who hung out around me and I hung out around them. So it wasn't unusual for somebody to, you know, walk in my store and be a celebrity of some kind. And so Jim and I started hanging out. He was in a really bad way at the time because he had just been arrested in Florida for indecent exposure. And I think he just wanted to, you know, be with somebody who didn't care, you know, who didn't want something.
Right.
So we went away for 3 days on a trip up the coast of California and went to the Hearst Castle and stopped and played pool and drank and drove.
I saw some of the footage that you released.
Yeah, I had just gotten my Super 8 camera and I was, you know, excited about it. So, and Jim shot some of it too.
Oh, really?
He shot some of me walking through the Hearst Castle.
That's right. Yeah.
And stuff. And, you know, within 6 months he was dead, you know.
That's tragic. I mean, his death is a tragic one. I mean, he was essentially a kid, you know, but a
well,
troubled
he was
kid.
26, I think. I think he was 26 when he died, or 27, something like that. But, you know, he had rheumatic fever as a kid. He had a bad heart. When he would drink, he would get beet red in the face. You could see he had terrible high blood pressure.
Right.
And I think that probably, you know, contributed to his early death because he was probably drinking a lot. He was in a tub of hot water, and his heart gave out.
Wow.
And he died.
And were you friends with him after this trip? Did you remain like close with him until
No,
end?
I never saw him again.
Wow.
I never saw him again. He dropped me off at my store and then I never saw him again. Like next I heard he and Pam went to Paris and then
that
you
was
know,
it.
Soon after that he was gone.
Wow.
So
back to your store. It was called the Liquid Butterfly. Am I right?
Yep.
And
yep.
do you have any
did.
Photographs of like the clothing you sold, or did you make the
Oh my
clothing?
God, I do. I do.
Because I think it would be a cool like thing to check out. You know, I used to work in a head shop when I was younger, and I kind of went through my own personal hippie phase, I guess I can call it, but not a real hippie. I mean, come on, it was like a '90s hippie. But you know, I followed the Dead around. I had a 66 Volkswagen Beetle. I tried, but it was kind of phony. And
well, I, you know, remember when everybody had patched jeans?
Yeah.
Well, that started basically with Neil Young, a record album cover, where it showed the back of his pants and it was all patches. Well, everybody wanted patched jeans, but most guys didn't sew. So I had a store where they could bring in their jeans and I would put righteous patches on them, either embroidery or velvet or, you know, with all this fancy stitching all around it. And we would do tie-dye and I made peasant dresses, you know, the long, you know, lovely lilting lady dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's my store was right along those lines. It wasn't a store where I bought merchandise and sold it. We made everything in the store. My partner did the tie-dye, mm-hmm. and, you know, that's what we represented, the Liquid Butterfly.
And you still do sewing, right? You still are into
making.
Oh, I do.
I am. In fact, you know, I'm a cancer surviver.
I know.
And there's a hospital here in Napa where I live that has an aftercare program for cancer patients. And it's all supported by donations. So I make what I call beetle bags. It's pictures. It's a cloth bag patchwork with a picture from Little House on the Prairie on it. And I donate all that money to the wellness center.
Where could somebody buy one of those?
I sew every day.
I want to buy my wife one.
Okay. Why don't you give me, let's see. What I need is either your email.
Okay.
Or I need to, why don't you email me?
All right.
And I can either put a picture of Miss Beetle on it, or I've got some of the Ingalls family.
No,
I've
we want you on
all
it.
Kinds of...
It's a Beetle bag.
Okay.
I'm going to put an Ingalls on it.
Okay, well, hang on a second. Let me take down your address. Oh, we won't do this on the air. Call me back after, or let's talk after we broadcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, or after we're done with the interview, you give me your home address. And I'll see what I can do, okay?
I really appreciate that because we're going to Disney World and I know that she would love to like present it as it's my Beetle bag and I'm in Disney World, you know?
Oh, that would be great. Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, we both adore your episodes and everything so much so that we're actually on Walnut Grovecast. What we do is we'll choose an episode and we'll review it. Different people.
Okay.
We have a woman named Susan King who comes on and we have... Christopher Cooling, we have another Chris, and we just kind of come on, play clips, and we just discuss the show in a little bit of a serious manner, believe it or not. And what we do, right now we're going through a thing called a Nellypalooza. So we're choosing all the Nelly episodes and kind of saying, you know.
Yes.
But what's
next? You
know,
she's one of my best friends
today.
Oh, she's fabulous. We travel together quite a bit when we go to the Midwest. We were in France together last summer. With our husbands and, you know, we just have the best time together. I so admire Allison for all the good work she does, for all the support, you know, that she gives to the, you know, the AIDS crisis and all that, testifying in front of Congress. And she's just such a fabulous person.
She's nonstop.
I love
too.
Her.
She is. Just,
yeah, she is nonstop.
And you too. I mean, you fought off cancer. I mean, and I'm going to hope that it just stays away. And
oh, yeah. It's been a long time. That was 1991. Good. So, no, it's all fine.
That's
right. And I travel with my husband quite a bit. We go on fun trips. So
and
I'm very happy.
Married...
I'm remarried at 76. I'm remarried.
For 1 year,
and,
right? I mean, has it been 1 year?
It'll be two years in August.
Two years.
My dear David passed away in 2012 after a long fight with emphysema. And so I've been alone for quite a bit. And then I ran into an old friend about 3.5 years ago, and we got married 2 years ago, and we have a lovely life, and we live in Napa, California.
That's how much better does that get? That's amazing.
Really, really, it's so pretty.
But I think to find somebody who you can still, you know, relate with and enjoy enjoy your life, I just think it's a great thing.
Right. Well, I'm 76 now, and my husband is 70. You know, I had to marry a younger man, of course.
I went the other way. I'm 6 years older than my wife.
So. Oh, well, good. Well, it works, doesn't it?
It keeps me young. But what I wanted to say, though, is that we were doing the Nelly Palooza, but next is
right.
The Beatle Fest. So we're choosing all Charlotte Stewart episodes to do in
You're
the future.
Kidding.
No.
Oh, my God. I thought you meant the Beatles like the Beatles.
No,
oh
it's just a play
fun.
On the Beatles. It's a
okay.
play on your fake last
well,
name.
There's two episodes that Michael Landon called Miss Beatle Kills the Kids Again. One is one is when I send the kids home in the snowstorm.
Yes.
And the other is when Carrie falls down the well. And
and when Caroline goes off on you, like that was.
Uh-huh. I know. How could I do that? I know.
But you portrayed the character perfectly. It was like with ultimate guilt in your face. It was.
Well, it felt terrible.
Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness. It's like the whole thing. Those are two particular episodes where you were really, your character was completely blamed for everything. It was just your fault. And
Miss Beetle kills
like,
the kids again.
She should call the union. She needs union representation. So what do you think about Little House on the Prairie in France? I mean, it's like the biggest thing ever, according to
it
Allison.
Is, and I have a theory. I have a theory behind that.
Okay.
And I didn't know it until we went last summer. I've been there twice now for the fan events. Little House on the Prairie came out in France the year after it came out in the United States. And it plays every day at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And every day at noon, no matter if you're in school or you own a business, you're in an office or you run a store, you go home for lunch. That's just the way it is. That's what the French do. They go home for lunch. Kids, grandma, mom, dad, everybody sits down and they watch Little House on the Prairie together. That's why we are so huge in France.
You know, it really relates to when I was a kid, and it would be like from 5 to 6 every day, Monday through Friday, no matter what.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And as an American, I didn't get those noon breaks. But
no.
I
but that's
really
my theory.
You're right. I'm going to guess that you're right. I just feel like... And the French are really kind of taking it to the next level, right?
Very opening of my book, I talk about the great big man that came up and grabbed me up in his arms and started crying, saying, "You were my childhood."
You
I
were
like, what? that's what it meant.
So what are you doing in Napa? Like, what is your day-to-day?
Well, my day-to-day, let's see. I'm basically retired from acting because I have no intention of going back to Los Angeles and pursuing that. So if somebody wants me, they call me, and they do. I do things periodically. Mainly, my husband, Michael, is a meteoriticist. He collects meteorites.
Wow, that's a hobby.
And we do about 18 shows a year on weekends all over California that are gem and mineral shows. So we travel around and, you know, we show our minerals and our rocks and our meteorites and our moon rocks and our Mars rocks. And that's our business now. I go with him when he does his and I help him. And then when I get a gig either all over the country with Miss Beetle, he goes with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just have a very nice life.
And
other than that, I sew every day. I make my beetle bags.
I've tried to sew. I've tried to do different things. I fumble, and my wife is not good at it either. So it's something that I really, really appreciate, and it's one of those things that I kind of, I always hope to one day pick it up and have a hobby. I'm a total hobby kind of person.
Uh-huh,
and,
uh-huh.
But as a lefty.
But there's all kinds of things. If you can sew a straight line, you can make quilts. You can do all kinds of things. It doesn't have to be fancy. You don't have to be a tailor or fit things. You can, you know, put combinations of fabric together, colors, patterns. You can have a really good time. It's like a puzzle.
It's
like a puzzle piece. So that's why I enjoy it. And I just, put on some music or turn on the TV, or I have a lot of shows that I've recorded because we don't stay up late at night. I just record the shows I love and then play them during the day while I'm sewing.
Yeah, we talked about technology briefly, and just that, the advent of the DVR and the TiVos and all of that, it allows you to get everything done when you want to get it done
Exactly.
without the
Exactly. And like
commercials.
that's no, yeah, you cut everything out. Yep. Absolutely. So I enjoy being home, and my family's nearby. My sister and brother live close by,
That's
different
great.
towns, but I love being close to them because my sister is 85, my brother's 83 now, so it's time to all stay close.
But that's great. I mean, I think that's great that not only do you live together, but it's like you're still talking because at a lot of families
Yeah,
they'll drift apart and they
I
never
know. We've
talk.
always been close. When my
That's
late husband
awesome.
became ill, I moved to be closer to my family so that I knew I was going to need the help. And it was wonderful. And now they need the help. So, what goes around comes around.
And you do attend every once in a while the Little House on the Prairie festivals, right?
Oh, I do. Yeah, whenever they invite me, I show up. Yep. Done a
Do you have
lot
it?
in Walnut Grove.
Yeah,
Almost
I
every
would
other
love to
year in
get
Walnut
there.
Grove.
I would love to get
Oh,
there. I
it's
just don't.
charming. It's just charming. And where are you based?
I'm on Long Island in New York.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's like
Well,
the furthest point from
they wouldn't.
everywhere.
Yeah. They can fly into Wisconsin or, someplace and rent a car and go. I think they've already had their last event this season. I'm not sure. I was there last year and we got rained out.
Oh
And
no.
yeah, it happens. It
Yeah, of
happens.
course. Do you have
But the fans are
anything on
always,
the agenda having to do with that this summer?
No, I don't. I don't
Okay.
have any. And I think maybe they think they've seen me too much or something.
No, come on.
Although not next weekend, next month, the end of July on the 28th, 29th, we'll be up in Seattle in the Snoqualmie area for the Twin Peaks Festival. And I've done that every year for 24 years. So meet and greet fans of Twin Peaks.
Well, that's the big, that's the big thing right now, isn't it? It's
Yeah.
everyone is still talking about Twin Peaks. I have friends who were obsessed with the show back when it originally ran, and they're complete film snobs, and they're like, "I watched it. He did a great job." And I mean, it's just been nothing but positivity coming out from the
Good,
show.
good. Well, it's not everybody likes it, but everybody is completely confounded by it. So catch
And
up in or if you do it, catch up in order. Although David Lynch says you don't have to watch it in order. It won't matter at all. I
it's
haven't quite
better.
got there yet, but I watched it last night in episode 8, and I haven't been on it yet, but maybe next weekend we'll see.
Now I started following David Lynch a little closer when I got involved with Transcendental Meditation a couple years ago. And have you ever kind of gotten into that, into
Well, I
meditation?
did back in 1966.
Oh.
My husband and I were initiated by the Maharishi,
Oh,
and
wow. Massive.
we were up in Lake Tahoe. He had a big conference up there, and we were up there with him for like 5 days. My husband and I filmed all of his lectures, or
Wow.
taped it, I should say, taped all of his lectures, and then after about, I don't know, after we split up and divorced, I kind of drifted away from it. But I remember it being very beneficial. So keep doing it, okay?
Yeah, I've been
Maybe I'll
doing
get
it.
back into it too.
I say if you have the time to do it, that's great.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the time to do it, then you're too busy.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
I
But,
do
it's
think it's
20
good
minutes
for you.
twice a day. How hard is that,
I've
really?
done it for 2 years now, 20, for 40 minutes total, and it was really tough at first, because I would just be stressed out, like thinking I'm wasting
Yeah.
time, I'm wasting time. And then I just kind of decided if I just shut up in
Go
my
down
head
the
for 5 seconds,
road.
I'll be
Just
okay.
go down the road. Just keep getting back on the track.
Yeah.
Just keep, getting back on the road. That's all you have to do. As soon as you drift away, you come back at the point. So, pretty soon I don't know why I quit. I don't know. I got busy or something. I said, but maybe I'll get back into it. That would be great.
That would be. So, yeah, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on. And
well, Mark, thank you. This has been delightful. And you've got my number. And then after we, say goodbye, stay on and I'll get your address.
That'd be great. And Charlotte, do you have a main website that people can look you up?
I don't.
All right.
I don't. But they can write to me at LottieBanks@yahoo.com. And that's the last part of Charlotte, LOTTE, and Banks, which was my late husband's name, LottieBanks@yahoo.com. Send me an email.
Great. I'll put everything in the show notes so people can send you all types of fun stuff.
Perfect.
All right, Charlotte.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And yeah, just stay on the line.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye-bye.